Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and I am here today with Ken, Mr. Biz Wentworth. Ken is a number one best-selling author, cash flow pro, and strategic business partner who developed his expertise while rising to the top 3% of leadership at a Fortune 15 company, and more recently, while helping owners run their businesses more profitably and more efficiently. With an ownership position in multiple companies, he also lives and breathes the challenges business owners face every day. You can find his books, Pathway to Profits and How to Be a Cashflow Pro, on Amazon. And I'll tell you after the break where you can learn more about him. But for now, I want to welcome you to the show, Mr. Biz.
Well, thank you very much, Emerald. I really appreciate you having me as a guest. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really excited that you're here, Ken. And first question I have for you is, you know, you were at a Fortune 15 company. There's not too many people in the whole wide world who can say that they were in a leadership position like that and then left. So can you talk a little bit about what happened there? What called you to leave and what inspired you to set yourself up as Mr. Biz Solutions?
Yeah, so it's funny. I get this question a lot because, and I'll tell you a real funny part that my wife played a part in this as well. I had come up with a couple of revenue generating ideas within about a 3 or 4 month period, two different ideas. Both of them got shelved due to some typical big company bureaucracy, some red tape, things like that. And it became very frustrating. I knew that I could be doing more. I could be utilizing my expertise to help more people. And I could see, I felt like I was trying to fly and my wings were clipped. And I loved my career there. I had a great career there. I have nothing bad to say about the company whatsoever. But ironically enough, to make the story even a little more interesting, at the second meeting was when my boss told me at that meeting that I was going to be put up to be in the top 1% of people in the company. But I could see, I'm strategic to a fault. So I'm thinking way ahead and I'm thinking about my future career opportunities as well as how I can help more people. And I was in New York City up there, traveling up there for these meetings. And literally I had that meeting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with my boss. At 6 o'clock in the evening, I'm at LaGuardia at the airport. I called my wife and I said, you know, Mark's going to put me up for managing director. And she said, oh my gosh, you know, all your hard work, you know, and everything. I said, and by the way, I'm going to leave. And she said, oh, you have to go? Your plane's taken off? I said, no, I'm going to resign. And literally my wife said, did you get to the airport early? Have you had a few drinks? And I said, no. And she said, well, how about this, cowboy? How about you take a nap on your way home, on the flight home? We'll talk about it when you get home. So once I got home and explained to her sort of how I was feeling and, you know, what I thought I can do. Now, I didn't know how I was going to do that. I hadn't formulated any of that yet. I just knew there was something else I could be doing to help more people. And I was going to be limited with that staying there at that company. So she fully supported me and she said, well, I'm glad you weren't just drinking and coming up with rash decisions. but that's sort of what happened. And then from there, I, again, didn't even know how I was going to do that. So I met with a mentor. Very interesting exercise we went through. We went through every job I'd ever had. And he said, tell me 3 things you loved about it, 3 things you hated about it. And he started on the left side of his whiteboard in this giant conference room he has. We went all the way across every single position I ever had. And then he circled the commonalities. It sounds really obvious when you say it out loud. I'm kind of disappointed in myself. I didn't think of this because it was very powerful. So the ones that showed up most often, he said, oh, well, this is really easy. We just need to find you a position where you can do these 3 things and not have to do these 3 things. And I said, well, that's great. What the heck is that? And so I didn't even know what I do now was a thing then. Mm-hmm. Because I was so wrapped up in the corporate world. But it was a powerful exercise. I'm very thankful that he sort of walked me through that. Gosh knows how long it would have taken me to sort of find my calling. But I got one client and 2 weeks into it, I came out and told my wife, I said, I know for sure, without any doubt, this is what I'm on the face of the earth to do, without a doubt. I love my job, absolutely love it. Helping people and being able to help them doing something that I really enjoy, and that, not being arrogant, but I know that I'm good at it. It's just every day. I mean, every day. It's funny. My wife, another quick little thing. My wife's a nurse. She loves her job. She'll usually text me in the middle of the day when she gets her break. So she texts me and says, "How's your day?" And I reply back to her and I said, "I freaking love my job." And she didn't reply back, which usually she does. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. She must have had to go back on the floor. She gets home from her job that evening. I was home before her. And she comes walking in. I said, "Well, you never replied back to my text." And she said, "Yeah, I want to talk to you about that." She said, "I was having a terrible day and I wanted to vent to you. But then I freaking love my job." And so she said, "I know it's really selfish of me, but can you pump the brakes on that a little bit? Sometimes I'm having a bad day. It doesn't happen very often. But what was I supposed to do? I couldn't reply back and vent to you when you're talking. I love your job." So anyway, it's been an interesting ride, but I know for sure that this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Beautiful. Well, I actually just had a guy on the show probably 2 or 3 episodes before yours here, who actually has a book about how to communicate with one another. So she might have been able to say, "Oh, I'm so happy you're having such an awesome day. Would it be okay for me to vent a little bit?" Yeah. So you guys might want to check out that episode. So a couple things in that I really liked, and that is that once you got your first client, you were like, "Oh, I know exactly where I'm supposed to be. I know exactly what I need to be doing." And if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to correct yourself a little bit, because you don't have a job anymore. You actually have your own company now. It's not a job anymore. I want to talk about 2 things. First of all, when you made that decision, either on the way to LaGuardia or somewhere during the course of that day, was there a feeling or an internal process or a turning point or something that got triggered? Can you talk a little bit about the experience of looking at, "I'm going to be in the top 1%, and then saying, "Oh no, that's not for me." What was going on for you on the inner planes? If you have any awareness of that, did you have a hit in the gut, or can you talk to our listeners a little bit about that process for you, what that was like, and then about the courage that it took? Where did you find the courage to not only say to your wife, "I'm done," but to your, employer that you're done, and then to the world, "I'm starting anew and I'm beginning again"?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was very interesting. As I mentioned, I'm strategic to a fault. So I'm always thinking 2, 3, 5 years out. In the meantime, I say to a fault because in the meantime, I trip over the curb that's right in front of me sometimes. But that was part of that. I left that meeting, and instead of being encouraged that, I'm going to be in the top 1% of people in the company, I was very discouraged, because for the second time in that 3 or 4 month period, I had a really good value add idea for the company that was being shut down. And so to me, it was like, man, it's just really, it's really odd. But it literally I left my boss's office. I was in the elevator. And this is all going through my head while I'm in the elevator on my way to my next meeting. And I thought, I just raised that point. I said, I have to do something else, because I know I can help a lot more people. And I started thinking about, okay, so when I get to the top 1%, what's my next move after that, right? So where do I go next within the company, assuming I stay within the company? Or I'm in that position for 5 years, 7 years, and then where do I go outside? What are my options outside of the company? What do I do then? And I quickly determined that some of those options weren't something I was interested in. And again, for me, honestly, and I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but it's honest to goodness truth, I just knew that I needed to be helping more people. I needed to be able to utilize the skills that I'd built up over these 20 years at this, Fortune 15 company, to be able to really help people. So, I mean, honestly, I pretty much made that decision. And this is going to sound really silly as I say it out loud now, but I made that decision within 15 minutes after that meeting. I mean, during the elevator ride, walking to my next meeting to another building, and I just didn't know when and what was next, but I just knew that's what I had to do. And so, I did it. Now, I will say that it was a prolonged period. So I went, the next time I was back in New York, I went in and met with my boss and said, "Hey, I'm going to resign." He got up and he closed the door and he said, that's not typically the conversation I get from someone when I tell them that they're going to be in the top 1% of people in the company. I said, I know. And I explained to him why. And he sat back and he's a career corporate guy. He said, I get it. I completely understand. He said, I reached a point like that in my career and I could have easily taken the route that you have. And he's fairly much older than myself. And he said, I could have easily gone that route myself at one point. He said, now I'm so far in, it's just too late for me, but save yourself kind of thing. And so I told him, I said, you know, I don't even know what to do next. So I'll stick around as long as you want. I'll help with the transition. And so I ended up staying around for another 8-9 months and helping out with some different things and things like that while I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grow up.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Well, we are already, it's amazing how quickly this goes. We're already at the break. So we're going to thank all of our listeners for downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads from all over the world. We added 3 more countries in the last 10 days. So I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Lebanon, which is the latest country that got added to our list of countries around the world, as well as our listeners in Ohio, which is where Mr. Biz lives. So we will be right back in just a moment with Ken, Mr. Biz Wentworth.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit TimeToMakeYourMark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's TimeToMakeYourMark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Ken, Mr. Biz Wentworth, and you can find out more about him at MrBizSolutions.com. That's spelled MRBIZ, and then the word solutions.com. We, of course, will have that information in the show notes. And also, you can check him out on Amazon and get his books, Pathway to Profits and How to Be a Cash Flow Pro. I really love that, Cash Flow Pro. So there was a lot at the front side of the show that you were talking about making that choice, and it was literally like a 15-minute choice-making process. And and then eventually you left your corporate gig to start your new business. And so what I want to talk about now is your, you know, when you are making a decision, like, I want to ask you about your decision-making process. Do you do something in your own self, like pluses and minuses, or like, can you help our listeners? Because I think one of the most important things that cash flow requires is swift decision-making skills. Yes. So if you could help our listeners, if you have any immediately actionable things that you can offer to our listeners about either how to get clear or how to make a decision or both, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And actually, I was a little bit derelict in answering your prior question. I know you'd mentioned the courage, and I think I can tie those sort of together is that, and I think it'd be really good for everyone to hear this because, I've mentored folks a large part of my career. I still mentor a lot of folks. And I think we generally don't give ourselves enough credit for our knowledge base and the ability to get things done. And so the courage of me leaving this cushy corporate job and great job to start my own business, there was no hesitancy. I didn't think like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Now, I will admit, after I did cut the cord, there were a few moments in there where I'm like, holy crap, there's no paycheck every 2 weeks anymore, right? But we quickly got past that. But what I want to extend to everyone is that I had confidence in myself that And I would ask everyone listening to think about this. If you have a decision you're considering making that's a tough one, something like this or anything like this in your life, consider this. Think back over your lifespan and the things that you were passionate about and that you went all in on. Now, think about it. Now, most people, that's probably only a few things, might be 3 or 4, right? How many times were you unsuccessful out of those 3 or 4? I'm willing to bet you were very successful. As a matter of fact, you may have hit a home run each time, because we have that ability within ourselves. When you have the passion and the drive for anything, you will be successful. You will find a way to be successful. And I think a lot of people, I know when I mentor people, a lot of times they are very hesitant for things like that. You can tell. And if I don't think they have the passion for it, and they're just kind of, as I call it, faking the funk, if they're doing that, then I wouldn't push them this hard. But when you have the passion and you have that just drive that you know you want to do this, you will be successful. The reason why I know you will is because it's worked for me. When I look back over my life, all the things that I've really put my mind to and really done, I've been successful in all of them. And it's not that I'm some special person. Everyone has this. If you do that self-assessment, you will be very surprised, maybe very surprised, how successful you are on those limited things that you were really like, I'm going to make this happen. And I think a lot of people need to gather that confidence. And when you do that self-assessment, that will definitely help you gather that confidence to just say, let's do it. Let's make it happen. And absolutely, you're going to have bumps in the road. Nothing is ever a smooth ride. As what was the saying, anything worth having is worth fighting for, it's whatever. There's always things that are going to come up. But if you're passionate and you're driven, you'll work around them. You'll figure it out. You'll navigate through, around, over, whatever you need to. And so that's the thing I think that really drives and is really powerful that each and every one of us has, but sometimes you don't realize you have it, or you just don't tap into it enough.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, and you know, I'm sure leaving corporate, you know, you don't actually realize what you have in that environment until you do leave. Like, you have to go to Staples yourself to get your office supplies. You can't just walk down the hall and say, hey, I need another box of pens, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Or when you have, for me, like you're having technical issues.
The tech department, of course, obviously.
Super frustrating for me, right?
Another one that was just an obvious one. You don't have the on-staff tech department unless you outsource that. Yeah. All right. Well, the next question I want to ask you about is, you did mention, so what's really important if you are somebody who's contemplating and in a space of making a decision to potentially leave your corporate and start your own entrepreneurial gig, besides needing to, you know that you're going to have to go to Staples and figure out your own technology. One thing that you said that was really important in the beginning was that you hired a mentor right away. You hired a mentor. And so one thing that I think is interesting is this word mentor, because a lot of people use the word mentor in a corporate environment where you're, you know, mentoring people and nobody's paying you to mentor those people. I mean, it's kind of all incorporated into the paycheck, I guess, you're getting. But and then outside the corporate environment, the word mentor is often used for somebody that you hire and you pay, or it could also be coach. I use the word mentor in my own business because I prefer that word. I mentor people and I'm hired to mentor. So you hired a mentor right away. So I'd love to have you talk about the value of coaching in your own life. And also, if you want to talk about any particular clients that you have already mentored or coached that are maybe like had a success story that you want to share with us.
Yeah, no, I sort of alluded to this a little bit earlier. Had I not sat down and had that meeting with my mentor, which again, as I outlined what we did, it sounds very obvious. Well, of course, that's what you would do. But for the life of me, I didn't think of that logical approach to it. But who knows how long it would have taken me to sort of narrow in to what I needed to do. And as a matter of fact, I didn't, even if I would have gone through that exercise, he had the knowledge that, as I mentioned, what I do now, I didn't even know existed. So I may have gone through that exercise myself and gone through and said, okay, I need the next thing I need to do has these three things and doesn't have these three things. And I said, I have no idea what that is, right? Mm-hmm. What's that look like? How do I make that? And so it was tremendously powerful. I mean, it paid for itself a gazillion times over. Again, because I would have probably had fits and starts, a bunch of fits and starts in between those proverbial bumps in the road along the way. I think I avoided a lot of those bumps by at least narrowing in what it is I wanted to do and what I needed to do. And thankfully, he was precisely accurate and really got me focused. Now, again, there were other bumps in the road, getting the business off the ground and things like that. But as far as the value of that mentor, and I still talk with him regularly. He's a big part of what I do. I formed an advisory board when I started my first company, and I run different things past those guys on a monthly basis. We meet once a quarter. So I think, you know, as a business owner or an entrepreneur, it's, or even just as someone considering different career options, you don't know what you don't know. So I think it is very important to make sure you surround yourself with people that, because I didn't know that, right? Obviously, as I've said, surrounding yourself with people, don't be afraid to invest in yourself. I had a person that I mentor, and he asked me this serious question, which I'm proud of myself that I didn't laugh, because it would have been very rude if I would have laughed when he asked me this. But he said, should I give up Starbucks and invest in myself or keep the Starbucks? Now, to me, that is an absolutely silly question. Drink some cheap coffee and invest in yourself. And you know what I said to him, without laughing, thankfully, I said, what's the return on investment of Starbucks? Mm-hmm. What's the return on investment investing in yourself, right? My grandfather told me that a long time ago. My grandfather, who dropped out of school to go to be in the service back in World War II, he told me, and he went back and got his GED and all that stuff, but he told me, the person with, you know, that dropped out of school early said, education. And that doesn't mean going to college necessarily. It's education, investment in yourself. That's something that no one can ever take away from you. Mm-hmm. And so that investment in yourself is critically important. And even after I went through that process, it took me a little bit of time as I was getting my business up and the revenues weren't coming in initially until I got some more of the word out and things like that. But you have to continue to invest in yourself in things like that, to having someone help you become a better version of you. And that is critically, critically important. I think most of us, not only that example I gave earlier about, you know, the things you go all in on and you're successful, we have so much untapped potential in ourselves that we never do. And a lot of times what you need is a swift kick in the rear end sometimes, if that's what's necessary, from someone else to really boost you along. Because a lot of people, your friends and family, they're like yes men. For the most part, yes, men and women, right? They're telling, "Oh my gosh, you're doing so great! I'm so proud of you." You know,
or they're naysayers. Sometimes they're naysayers.
Like, right, right.
What do you think you're doing?
Right. Either way, that's not helping you grow and continue to tap into that full potential that you have as a human being. And so, a coach, a mentor, I think people like that will do that. They'll bring that out of you.
Yeah.
So I think it's critically important.
Beautiful. Well, I am disappointed a little bit that we're almost at the end because I feel like I could talk to you for a while. What I want to ask, I guess my final question is how you celebrate. And I want to actually ask you to weave the answer in with your cash flow pro expertise, because one thing that I know for sure is to have a successful business, you have to have robust cash flow. And every time cash flow comes in, it's important to celebrate that. So can you talk a little bit, maybe weave a little bit of your cash flow pro expertise into the celebration question? How do you celebrate when cash flow comes into the pro?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's really important as well, is that you got to, you know, as they say, take time to smell the roses. And so I set goals. And I'm a numbers nerd at heart. And so I know when the goals I set, the monetary aspect, the cash flow aspect of those things, where that will get me. And then I'll set a goal and say, get to this point, not if, when I get to this point, my wife and I are going to go to Bora Bora. We're going on vacation to Bora Bora. I haven't reached that one yet, but we're going to get there for the end of the year.
What's the number? Tell us the number. We could all like be cheering for you and your wife to go to Bora Bora.
She asked me about it pretty regularly. where are we at? And I literally have a chart in my office and that's part of it too. For me, what's really important for me is I have that chart. So while I'm sitting at my desk, I can see that chart. When I get up to walk out of my office, that chart hits me every day. It's a constant reminder. And if I'm behind, I know to kick myself in the butt and get moving. If I'm ahead, I know let's keep pushing forward. Let's keep the pedal to the metal. But for me, visualization is very important. I set a goal a long time ago, a little bit of a tangent here, but just to show you one of those times where I was all in. I was a personal trainer. I started working out. I was working out a lot. And the first time I bench pressed 225 pounds, I said, I'm going to bench press 500 pounds. People said, you're crazy. How are you going to do that? I reverse engineered. Mm-hmm. How do I do this? And tying into what we talked about just a little bit ago, I went out and I said, who is the best or one of the best top people as bench pressers in the entire country? Because the United States had the best. And I found them and I called them and I said, can I come out and train with you for a week? I took a week off of work and flew out to California to train with one guy and learned everything I could from him. And I trained with another guy in Iowa for a week because I sought out people who were way better than me at it. so I could learn from them. They were my mentors. And I accomplished that goal. And it was a crazy goal. Even now I think about back to it, it was a crazy goal, but I was able to do that. So, but with the use of mentors. And what I would do is I would make index cards. And for the next competition I had, whatever my goal weight was for that, I would put it on the mirror in front of my sink where I shave, brush my teeth, all that stuff. So every day I would see it. I would tape it to my dashboard in my truck. So I would see it while I was driving. I had it taped in my office at my corporate job. It was taped to the bottom of my monitor. So I would constantly be reminded, I would carry around those little tiny, I actually carry one around with me all the time, these little guys, right? Stick them in your pocket. And every day at the end of the day, I would write down, what are three things I did to get me closer to that goal? Yeah. Because I would hold myself accountable every single day because it's those small actions that get you there. But so, yeah, I set long-term goals and, of course, short-term interim goals to celebrate the successes in between, because sometimes those long-term goals might take 3 or 4 years. It's easy to wane in your ambition and your excitement about those things. So I think, yes, setting those goals, and they're always tied to cash flow for me, for sure. Because I want to make sure I'm doing it in a profitable way for the business and the family and everything like that. So
yeah, beautiful. Well, you have to give us your magic number, really, so that we can support your wife's trip to Bora Bora. I'm going to challenge you, Ken.
Well, the Bora Bora number is a certain number of subscribers on Mr. Biz Solutions.
Okay, great. So what's the number?
The number is 500. I got to get to 500 subscribers.
All right. Well, we will hold that number for you. And we will intend, as a collective group of men on purpose all around the world, can you feel the energy, Ken, of all of our listeners in 78 countries? They're all sending you and your wife to Bora Bora.
I love it. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you.
You got some pictures of the fruity drink.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, we want to thank you so much. And listeners, we love feedback. So please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. I want to thank Ken, Mr. Biz Wentworth, for coming in today and being willing to be vulnerable with us about his special number, and appreciate his time and energy and his great suggestions and advice and guidance. And we want to thank you for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.